This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we wind down this week's installments on our series of messages about the cross of Christ, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. But right now, let's hear a beautiful song, and then Dr. Green.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep veil, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we study thy word today. Open unto us the scriptures, O God. Help me to rightly divide thy word. Feed believers, may believers be strengthened in the inner man, and may sinners be born again in Jesus' name. Amen. This week we've been studying, of course we're studying the cross, a series of messages on Calvary. This week we've been studying Hebrews 9 and 10. Four things that I have pointed out and will point out today. Number four, the perfect Savior who did the, but the perfect work. Number two, the perfect work Jesus the Savior accomplished. That is, what was the perfect work that he worked? Number three, the perfect provision provided by the perfect work of the perfect Savior. Now today, number four, the perfect outcome of the perfect work done in our heart through the Holy Spirit. The perfect outcome, the perfect Savior, the perfect work, the perfect provision, and the perfect outcome. Now, if you have your Bibles open, and I trust you do, at Hebrews chapter 9, we begin with verse 25. Yesterday, I read verse 24 last. Verse 25 nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. Now, we learned last week on one of the broadcasts that the priest entered the first court, that is, daily, with blood for the errors of the people. Then, once each year, he entered the Holy of Holies with blood for his own sin, and then for the sins of the people. Now, nor yet that he, that is Jesus, our perfect sacrifice, he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now. Notice in verse 24, we have that word now. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now. Into heaven itself now, to appear in the presence of God. Did you know there are many Christians? There are many Christians who look upon salvation and they think of salvation as an insurance policy. That is, it will help them when they die. Now, of course, an insurance doesn't help you, but it helps your loved ones. The loved ones collect when you die. An insurance policy. Now, salvation is not an insurance policy. Salvation is a present possession. We are saved now, just as saved, I mean by that, redeemed, and we are delivered from the penalty of sin right now, just as surely and truly and just as completely as we'll ever be from the sin that damns, redeemed from the sin that damns. We are growing day by day spiritually. We're born babes and we grow, but I'm talking about now, right now. Listen, for then must he often have suffered since foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, we've been living in the end time ever since Jesus was born. We've been living in the end time. Once in the end of the world, hath he appeared. Why did he appear? To heal the sick? He healed them. Yes, he did. He never lost a case. To open the eyes of the blind? He opened the eyes of the blind. He never lost a case. Did he enter into the world that he might be a great political leader and ruler and deliver his people from the slavery of Rome? No. No, he did not. He came to offer himself. He hath, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin, by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear, once offered. Now, I pointed out earlier that the word once, and we'll study that maybe tomorrow, that word is used 7 times in these 2 chapters, 9 and 10 of Hebrews. 7 times you find once. Underline them, find them, and put a little red line under them in your Bible. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin, unto salvation. The perfect result, the perfect outcome, the perfect outcome of the perfect work provided by the perfect substitute, the Lamb of God without spot or wrinkle. Now, I've made this statement several times this week. I repeat, and I do not apologize because I cannot repeat this too often. We are saved with the perfect salvation of God. God saves us with the perfect salvation. There is no other kind. A perfect God, a holy God, a righteous God could not provide anything less than perfection. Therefore, what God demanded, to pay the sin debt, and the wages of sin is death, and it had to be paid, or all men burn in hell, because through the disobedience of Adam, all men became sinners, and death moved upon all men because of sin. So what the sin debt demanded, only God Almighty could provide. So Jesus died. He appeared to die. He died, and he died the death of the cross. Not just death, but he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the most shameful, the most horrible death that any man could die. Now, he is our Savior. He is our mediator. He is the propitiation for our sins, and he sits at the right hand of God to make intercession for us, seeing that he ever liveth, he will never die. He said, I am he that was dead and am alive forevermore. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I'll never die again. So, Christ was once offered, never to be offered again. He offered his own blood one time, never to be repeated. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin, without sin. Now, here is the outcome of our salvation. We are redeemed the split second we believe. It doesn't take God but a second to save you, redeem you. Now, I read yesterday, and I'm not going to read it again, in Romans 5, we are saved by his life. He died to redeem us. He lives to save us. Now wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I didn't say he lives to redeem us. He lives to save us. To save us from what? From the pitfalls of Satan, the temptations of the world and Satan. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow or permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now in Hebrews 2, he was not made like the angels, but like Abraham. He took upon him the seed of Abraham, and he was made like unto his brethren in all things, that he might be able, that is, to take our place and to stand in our tracks and face temptation. And he did. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Jesus, our mediator, was made like unto his brethren in all things, that he might be our great intercessor. He was made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins, S-I-N-S. He not only redeems us from S-I-N, the sin that would damn us, the sin of unbelief, but he also makes atonement. He mediates on behalf of our sins, and this is because of his death and victory over the grave. He now sits at the right hand of God as our mediator. Now that leads me to the next verses that I want to read. And in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. All right. Verse 28 of the same chapter, Romans 8:1, I quoted Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, what is his purpose? What is his purpose? The purpose of God is to call out, to redeem, to form the body, the New Testament church, and to complete the New Testament church, and then call the bride, the New Testament church, to meet his son Jesus in the air, and then the church will be married, that is, will become, the church will become the bride, and the marriage will take place, and then the marriage supper. Happy are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, we read in Revelation 14. Now, the purpose of God is to redeem a people who, because of their redemption, because of their holiness and righteousness, this people can commune and fellowship with His Son. Now, the purpose of God will be completed. All hell cannot stop God's plan and the things that God willed before the foundation of this earth. Therefore, because of this, now listen, all things, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, I am one of the called ones. You are one of the called ones, if you are a believer. If you're a believer, you are one of the called ones. You are one that you, as an individual, make up a part of the purpose of Almighty God. Now, that the reason I'm emphasizing that, I'm going to the next verse. Then we'll come back to that one. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, the purpose of God is to call many brethren to fellowship, that is, brethren who are capable of fellowshipping with His Son. And that can only come about through holiness and perfection. And holiness and perfection can only come about through the blood of Jesus Christ. All born again, blood washed believers are saints. They are holy. They are righteous. They are pure. Because they are saved with the perfect salvation, covered by the perfect blood of the Lamb. Now, whom He did foreknow. Yes, I believe in the foreknowledge of God. God knew before He made Adam that I'd be saved, but that did not determine my salvation. My salvation was determined through the death of Jesus and my faith in His shed blood. Yes, God is sovereign, and the foreknowledge of God I accept. God knew before He ever made this earth everything that would occur every second throughout time and eternity for that matter. So the foreknowledge of God does not destroy the free will of man. Now what about this predestination? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed. All right, the believer, God knew that some would believe, and because of the foreknowledge of God, God knew who would believe, but that did not determine the believing on the part of the individual. The individual believes because the individual hears the word of God, and hearing the word brings faith, and faith brings salvation, grace. All right. So, believers are predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son, that He, that is, the Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. He is the firstborn. He is the first from the dead. And He is the firstborn. And we are His brothers. We are joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8, this same chapter, and you read that in verse 17. Children, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, see. All right, now then, those who are believers are predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son, that God's Son might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now that is a gigantic verse of Scripture. Listen carefully, and I'm so sorry that I have so little time left. Whom he did predestinate, them he called. Yes, many are called. Many are called. Those who are chosen are called. Those who are predestinated are called. And many are called who do not come. Prove it. Jesus said to his own, I sat and I called, but you refused. I would have gathered you and your children as a hen gathereth her chickens, and you would not. You search the Scriptures, but you will not come to me. Come unto me, all ye. Come unto me, all ye. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So, in this tremendous verse, moreover, whom he did predestinate, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Now, God does all this. All you do is believe. That's all you can do is believe. Whom he did and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, here's what I'm going to say, and then tomorrow I'll continue this, and then we'll bring in another line of thought. But I must finish this tomorrow, so please don't miss the broadcast tomorrow. Now, if you are a believer, whatsoever happens to you, regardless, is for your good. And whatsoever happens to you happens to conform you to the image of God's dear Son. Now, what happens to you after you're born again will be determined by how you live the life of a believer. If you surrender soul, spirit, and body, if you walk in the path of a good soldier, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. But if you are a disobedient child, you will be chastened. But the chastening, regardless of how severe, is for your good to conform you to the image of God's dear Son. Now, I regret so much to leave this, but tomorrow we'll take up right there, and it's deep. Don't miss it. Father, in the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, for Jesus' sake,
save souls, our Heavenly Father. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, He is worthy. For His sake, amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. Now, Dr. Green has finished teaching us today, but we still have a few moments left, and I want to spend that time telling you about our great new Gift Offer Elm. Gift Offer Elm, which contains our newest book just hot off the press here, plus several other items for you. And this offer is available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $15 or more. Now, if you can, I urge you to send more, and after you hear about it, I know that many of you will want to order several sets to share with family, friends, or your church, and you may do so. Just be sure to tell me how many sets of Offer M you want, and please send a donation of at least $15 for each set that you order. And if you do that, I will send you in return several items, one of which is our 4-page tract, 3 Steps to Heaven's Reward. And that goes along with our new book that I'll tell you about in a moment. I'm going to send you 5 copies of this tract. Then, since this is the 50th year since my father passed away and the Gospel Hour has been on the air, I'm going to send you a color photo of my father, 5x7, a color photo with a printed signature on it, and then a bookmark that we have just printed to go along with our brand new book. It's a beautiful bookmark with a color photo on the front from the book, and on the back, my dad's favorite verse, Romans 10:9. Finally, our new book, Joy Cometh in the Morning. Now, this came about because that is the verse of Scripture, Psalm 30, verse 5, that my dad was reading on the day that he died. It's such a powerful verse. And this book, as I said, contains 7 great sermons, such as Perfect Peace, The Believer's Hope, The Inheritance of the Saints, and so on. So all of those sermons, plus we have a timeline of the Gospel Hour and other items in this perfect bound book. So to get the book and all of the other items, just ask for Gift Offer M and send your gift of at least $15. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.